Well, here we are, and it is the news, according to me. Yes, it's welcome to Monday. It is Monday morning, July 13th, 2026. I have two things to talk about today. We've got it's Mishmash Monday. There's a whole mishmash of things going on. I'm in New York, but not just New York. I'm in upstate New York. I'm in Syracuse, New York. Currently, actually, the town I'm in. I believe it's Pinellas or something like that. Something like that. A lot of interesting names of towns in this particular part of the state. I think there's a lot of indigenous people's names up here, tribal names in this particular area. So there is some interesting things in this particular part of the country. We have a lot going on in the country and the nation. We've got some callers to mess with here this morning. However, there's some specific things I want to kind of talk about. Hopefully the callers will come up with some things that I actually want to talk about. It's just when the AI bots, I have this agent, this agentic thing that goes out and finds all the relevant information for the particular day that we're doing things. So Mishmash Monday is kind of it's a day where there's kind of it knows to kind of just pick up general populace stuff that's going on, and in that particular realm as well, what it does is it picks up political, geopolitical information, sports, whatever it is, goes out and kind of gets a mishmash of things, and so we talk about what's happened over the weekend typically, and then that's kind of how the Monday morning show is supposed to go. No particular agenda. Tuesdays are the technical Tuesday, so we kind of talk more about technology and those kinds of things. So the agent goes out and looks for top stories and that kind. And then typically it revolves around AI and everything, those kinds of tech things, data centers, those kinds of things, electronics in general. The other thing that happens typically is on Wednesdays, if we have kind of a wishy-washy Wednesday, I typically talk about political candidates and their wishy-washiness. So it's a day kind of could talk about political stuff. Which it's kind of every day, just to let you know. But the other side of that is that we on Thursdays it's Theological Thursday, so we talk more about theology. Unfortunately, the AI tends to, the bot, the agent that I have tends to go out and find a lot of things about the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church is in the news quite a bit recently. It's other things too, just whatever's in the news, whether it's evangelicals or Protestants, Lutherans, whatever they are. It just kind of seems to get on a bend of whatever's the top of the list of the things that are in the news. And then we have the Financial Friday, so we talk about things in finances on Friday. But having said all that, I just kind of give you a rundown, just in case you're not used to the show. That's kind of the format of the show. And so the bots go out and get information each day. And then what happens is they provide questions to fill in the blanks for my callers. I basically have four or five callers. I'm going to be coming up with some more here pretty soon, possibly today, because I've got an entire day here in Syracuse, New York, upstate, without having to really do anything. However, there is a Costco right next door. If I jumped out of my window, I wouldn't be able to reach the building, but probably the splatter. I'm on the fourth floor. Some of my splatter would probably end up on the building. I'm that close. Just to give you an idea, I'm just trying to give you a relative. Not that I'm going to do that. I'm just saying to kind of give you a relative idea. I guess I could give you an estimate. I'm probably about 100 feet away from the building. Okay, I'll just put it that way. That might be an easier reference than trying to tell you. I don't know why I have to put things in that kind of a reference. Anyway, I'll talk about what's in my cup here real quick. I got my regular chai. I got some hot water from downstairs. There was a free breakfast here at this hotel, which I'll be eating as well tomorrow morning. And Now, tomorrow morning, there probably won't be a show. I don't know if I want to do a show this evening for tomorrow. It's very possible, just because it's technical Tuesday, Technology Tuesday. However, my bots don't come up. My bot report comes out at 5 a.m. tomorrow morning. I could get up tomorrow morning and do the show. However, it would be a very short show because I might get up early enough. It's hard to tell how much rest I get tonight. It's all kind of depends on how I feel. I would have to get up about 4:30 or 5 to get everything ready to go. I probably could just have everything set up and ready to go and just do the show real quick. I'd probably do a 30-minute show. Just listen to the bots, get going, and get out the door. I will be in Moline, Illinois by noon. Well, it'll be about 1-2 o'clock in the afternoon, Eastern time. I'm on Eastern time right now. So it would be a little while in the afternoon by the time I would be able to get the a show done. And I might just do that. I'll just have to see how it works out. That might be an easier way to do the show. Depends on how today goes. How much stuff I can get done. I got a lot of work to get done, and I want to try to get some exercising and some other things going on because I've got to get some exercise. And I've got to get Costco lunch at Costco because it's a couple dollars. It's right there. And then there's a Longhorn Steakhouse that's not very far away. There's not a Chick-fil-A or a Culver's anywhere close by. So it looks like Costco is going to be lunch today. Unfortunately, I'll probably go over there and buy some things. I don't have much room in my bag, so it'll be interesting to see what happens. Actually, I wonder if they've got there's a cable that I need. I just ordered it on Amazon, but I wonder if they've got them over there. If they do, I might just pick myself up one right away. Anyway, that would be easier for me the rest of the trip. I need an extension cable for a USB-C extension cable. Anyway, not that that matters to you, but I'm just telling you. We have a lot of electronic accessories over there. In the meantime, my backup cup, I have nothing. All I have is water. I don't have any sweet tea. Yesterday was, of course, Sunday, and I went through two places that have Chick-fil-A's. I was actually in D.C. yesterday. And unfortunately, there is no sweet tea there. I probably could make sweet tea here. I might just try that later on. I'm going to get sweet tea tonight at Longhorn Steakhouse. I'll probably have the grilled salmon this evening after my thorough workout and thorough everything I do. It's going to get up in the close to 90 degrees here, I think, today. It'll be a nice hot day to be out running around. So we'll see how that goes. Anyway, having said all that, I do want to say, I've got this little disclaimer I've got to play for you right here. I'll try to play the short version of it, and we'll go from there. And we'll talk about the show. We'll get some callers calling in here. We can get ourselves going. Here it goes.
Welcome to the news, according to me. Pull up a chair, I'll share what I believe. I've done my reading, I've got thoughts or two. But I'm not your doctor, so don't go blaming you know who. I'm not a doctor, I'm not a lawyer. I'm definitely not your financial advisor. These are my opinions, not the gospel truth. Entertainment only, baby. That's the news, the news according to me and me alone. Now let's get started. Ooh, welcome to the show.
All right, that's correct. I am not a doctor, I'm not a lawyer, I'm not a financial counselor, I'm not a geopolitical expert. This is just for entertainment purposes only. I have and entertaining it will be. I better take a sip. I forgot to take a sip there during the whole. It's getting a little chilly. The chai is not quite as hot. There's no microwave in this room. By the way, I'm in a hotel in Syracuse, New York, upstate, as I said earlier. And we got a call. We got callers calling in here. Let's just go ahead and. So let's start right off with Eleanor. Let's make sure the volume's up on this. Make sure everything's going to work on this thing. It's just, I've got this, microphone. It's kind of a noisy hotel. I've got my air conditioner off, and yet I still hear an air conditioning system or something, some kind of vent thing going off. I'm not sure what's happening with all that. We'll get with it. Here's Eleanor. Let's see what she has to say today. Go ahead, Eleanor. You're on the air.
Greetings, Kevin.
Yes, go ahead.
Historian's perspective needed. Trump's Mount Rushmore speech warning about communism echoes Reagan's evil empire moment. But here's my question. Are we facing actual Soviet-style communism from China, or is this a different beast entirely? How do the historical parallels hold up when comparing Cold War USSR to modern CCP influence operations?
Well, that's an interesting, it's a very good question. The landscape of, in my opinion, the landscape of the communist movement has changed. Now, when Reagan made comments about communism, it was a very well-defined type of communism that kind of the whole nation kind of understood that we were not communists and they were communists and our enemies were communists, and there was this whole fear factor, I think, that was built into the... I think it was overhyped to some degree that we had the military complex and the military industry. I think it was part of a larger part of economic growth and everything else that was going on. There's a whole mix of things that were happening there. I don't want to just nail down one thing and say it was this big conspiracy or say anything about it being some kind of phony act of that the whole thing was just a paper tiger that we put up to scare the American people to pay it to, so we'd have for military spending. There was a real threat from the Soviets. It kind of went both ways. I think both countries were acting out of fear of each other to some degree. But there was a definite march from the Russians to have communist collectivist mentality and their specific style of communism to take over the entire... They wanted to take over the whole world, basically. They were going to take over Europe. They would have taken over the entire country of Europe if they would have capitulated to that. It was... the Soviet Union at that time was largely made up of Russia, creating a, taking over other countries around them and creating this Soviet Union. So the Soviets were part of that whole, it's very complicated. I'm sure you have more information, being the historian that you are, you have more information about it. Now, so I don't want to get too caught up in much of this. However, the type of communism we have now is more of a collectivist mentality, and it has kind of a mix of Marxist, Leninist, Stalinist. It's just kind of this weird, I would just call it collectivism, because it really, this social, democratic socialist, and this term socialism, socialist, has kind of taken over and the idea of communism, they've kind of replaced the word communism with it because it has negative connotations. So we have a different, but the difference now is that communism is not just, a country over there. It is in our country, and it's on our shores now. It is here. There are people who, especially younger people, who are embracing it, thinking it's this some kind of a utopian type thing that we just need to tax the rich and we're going to have the rich pay for everything, and they've built this country on our labor, and they're stealing from us. Somehow they're stealing from us because we spend our money on their products because we like them, and that makes them evil somehow. I don't understand all that. And they don't, get me wrong, there are there are companies that do things that are nefarious. They're greedy, just like anybody else. They want their bigger share of the market plan and all that. So there's always those issues with human beings running things. However, it's not just as cut and dried and easily done. And whoever you put into power can ultimately have issues with the power that you give them, because they can take advantage of people. It's just the nature of the way human beings are. So I guess it's a complicated thing, and I guess it's that's where I kind of yes, I think that there's a certain style of communism, and I think that the CCP is the Chinese collectivist mentality. There is very different. It's different than the Soviets. They're different, I should say, than the Russian communism. They don't always get along that well. Russia and China are kind of the epitome, I guess, of the enemy of my enemy is my friend kind of thing. They, you know, they kind of work together, but they're not necessarily, you know, lockstep the same thing. It's a very different animal there. So I'm sorry, just bashing things around here. But the I don't know, does that make any sense? I've kind of given you kind of a general overview, 10,000 foot view of the way I see it. Does that make any sense? What I'm saying. I'll take a sip here. You can go ahead and talk. Say what you want to say. A lot to think about there, I guess, isn't there? Yeah.
You've hit on something crucial here.
Of course I have.
The vocabulary shift really does matter because when we stopped saying communism and started saying socialism, we lost the historical weight that word carried for people who lived through the Cold War.
Yeah, well, that's very true. Yeah.
But here's what I'd push back on gently.
Okay, gently.
Today's younger adherents often aren't studying Marx or Lenin. They're reacting to real wage stagnation and wealth concentration,
exactly. That's good.
Which
yeah.
are separate
good point.
Problems with separate solutions, and conflating them with a century-old ideology muddies the water.
Yeah.
And on China versus the Soviets, you're absolutely right that they're different animals. The CCP actually learned from Soviet collapse and went the opposite direction.
Yeah. Yep,
they married state control with market mechanisms and ruthless pragmatism, which is why they're outmaneuvering us in areas like manufacturing and now space technology, as we're seeing with their recent rocket recovery breakthroughs.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree with what you're saying there. And I think it's kind of along the same, I wouldn't say it's a pushback. I would say it's just a further point of kind of where I was going. I think you kind of illuminated some areas that I wasn't being very articulate on. It's very helpful. We have a very different. Yeah, it's just a different animal. It's a different time. I think that Trump's speech, in some ways, kind of nailed it. In other ways, he puts his own spin on things. But I think that it's a subject that we need to bring up. It's a subject that definitely needs to be talked about, and something that I think that I guess needs to be addressed. Is this whole idea, and I think that the Republicans, where the Republicans have really kind of failed in some ways, is that they have lost the ability to educate the, and especially when it comes to the public school system, the benefits, the betterness, I should say, you know, the independence, the idea of an individualist society of you know, rather than a socialist collectivist society, the idea of rugged individualism, they look down on it. They thumb their nose. The left thumbs their nose at this idea of rugged individualism rather than the warm embrace of collectivism. That's the way Mom Donnie puts it. That's their idea. That's this idea that we all are going to work together as collectivists. Well, no, you it doesn't work that way. In reality, it's not this utopia. There is no utopia. There's nothing. However, this idea of being an individual, having individual rights, and then you deciding who you're going to have associations with, how you're going to socially interact with other people and with contracts or whatever you do, is based on your individual choice. It's not based on, you know, the government now mandating that you comply with their standards, and it's the centralized form of government that implies things over you, or you know, so those are the kind of things I think that are very critical in terms of understanding collectivism and this mandatory collectivist type thing. It's rather than a voluntary you enter into contracts of associations rather than having it be mandated over you. I think that there's a big difference there. And I think you're right. The young people today, they see they don't have any hope, and it's just this idea of, robots are taking over, and there's not going to be any jobs, and this, you know, the skills, the labor skills that were once involved in, the manual labor type work that's out there, is not being promoted. It's not being shown as, you know, they're not given any hope in terms of what they're able to do as an individual. It's this political idea that, you know, you're being shafted and somebody owes you and you're entitled to whatever. It's just an amazing thing that's happened philosophically, I think, and ideologically in our society and the way the kids are being taught today. I think it's all stuff that needs to be really addressed in serious ways. Oh, something bit me on
the real disconnect you're naming is that young people aren't choosing collectivism because they read Marx. They're choosing it because the individual path their parents were promised, the one where hard work guarantees stability, doesn't materially exist anymore for most of them, and nobody's offering them a credible alternative vision except you're on your own.
Yeah.
That's the Republican failure you're pointing at. They've abandoned the argument entirely and just ceded the narrative to whoever promises something, anything, that yeah. feels like a plan.
Yeah, yeah. I agree. That's just, yeah, there's, they're just looking for whoever can promise them the most stuff. It's kind of what has happened with all that. So it's, yeah, it's very interesting what has ended up happening. Anyway, yeah, let's go to another caller. We got good conversation, but let's see what else we got going on.
Hey, Kevin, geopolitical question here. With Trump ordering those new strikes near the Strait of Hormuz over the weekend, what's the actual data on how much of our oil supply still flows through there? I keep hearing conflicting numbers on whether we're truly energy independent or if we're still vulnerable to Iranian disruption of the shipping lanes.
Yeah, well, good question. A lot to cover here as well. First of all, what's not being told, I've been listening to some military experts or people, you know, they're people on YouTube, so they must be experts. Now, some of these guys are really, they've come from a really good background. I've kind of found some very good, they're very, not super, they're not just doing it to be popular. They're actually doing us a favor by some of the things that they're doing. I can't remember the name of the one channel who's really good analysis of things. And he's not just out to get clicks. He's actually just really good information, really good analysis. He was talking about the actual strikes that happened and what happened. You know, he's talking about the technical side of what's happening here with some of the strikes. And it's, I would say we did probably more damage. The longer we're there and the more that we observe what's going on, they can't hide anything anymore. They're having a hard time, anytime they make movements to resupply, replenish, whatever they're doing right now, it's being very closely watched. Not that they haven't been closely watched in the past, but it is 100 times more under scrutiny in terms of everything that's going on over there, any kind of movement that's happening. So we know now where all the main places are, where some of their rockets are, their ballistic missiles, that kind of thing. All the stuff that they have, we know where it's at. Well, there were strikes over the last few days, probably did more actual serious damage in terms of really just kind of gutting any kind of potential that they had in the last few days. You know, Trump said something about we may have to ramp things back up again. Well, the straits are open. I think there are over 800 ships, I think, right now that are moving through there. They claim that they shut it down. They did not shut it down. And Trump basically came in because of the strikes that they tried to do on some other ships. It wasn't on U.S. ships, but we went in and basically just there's been some devastating things that have happened in the last three or four days, and it's not really being reported on. But it is. They are some surgical strikes and some things that have happened that have just basically utterly just destroyed. Just kind of, you know, every time they come out with a statement saying that they're going to do one thing, Trump just responds with, "Okay, it's not, you know, it's not one sided anymore. We had an agreement. You said one thing, you didn't stay with it. We can't trust you anymore." Basically, Trump came out and had a speech about this. He said they just continue to lie. They continue to say they're going to do one thing, do something else. It's impossible to negotiate with them. They've had it. You know, it's just we're done with that kind of attitude. You're not willing to make a deal. Trump will make a deal. He'll stay with it. He's not the typical U.S. mentality of we're going to make a promise and then we're going to change it. They have not held their end of the deal up, and it's been just ridiculous, and it's wearing out our diplomats because they just have them running in circles. They're trying to play these games, and we're not playing games. No more games anymore with this thing. We're not going to just go into a forever war regime change type thing. You guys get your act together and play nice in the sandbox, or you're not going to be in the sandbox, or you're going to be under the sandbox. So that's kind of mentality. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm not saying I agree with it. I'm not saying any of those things. I'm saying that's where we're at now. I part of me says, you know, I'm kind of torn on this whole thing. Part of me is like, yeah, it's just got to happen. However, the other side of me is, you know, what's going to be the ramifications of this, you know, 40 years down the road, We're going to make, because we get a different person in office, then we know we have a different mentality. We have different, you know, you get somebody like Obama back in office who's just willing to comply and capitulate to everything, anything that they want, and start sending them money again. Then we have issues. So it's kind of a weird dynamic. Now, that being said, as far as the surgical strikes, or as far as the strikes go, now, as far as the oil supply, that's a whole other good question. It's another vein in the same vein, I guess. We have, how much of our oil is there? Are we energy independent? You asked a couple of good questions there. Very little of the oil we get. Now, the world's oil, yes. There's a large amount of the world's oil, and not just oil. There's a lot of other minerals, a lot of other commodities that go through that strait. It's been a lot of things involving tech. A lot of the raw materials, those kinds of things that are used, that are transported into that region for tech operations, things, making chips and doing all kinds of other things. So there's other resources that are there, even helium and some other things like that that are used in the processing of and manufacturing of certain tech things. So there's all those kinds of things that move through the straits as well that are very serious and have to keep moving. Now, as far as the oil goes, as far as being energy independent, we are, and yet we're not. The oil is on a global trade, so anything that happens globally with oil, we're not just making our own energy and keeping it here. There is still global trade with all the oil, natural gas, everything else that goes out on the international market, and so the pricing in other countries does matter because it does affect us to some degree. But it all comes down to refinement. So it's how it's refined, whether or not we have enough refineries. I'll get it right at some point. And that all makes a difference too. Now some countries don't have refineries. Some countries don't have the ability to process even the oil that they have. Venezuela is a good example of that. They don't really have any refineries down there to speak of. And it's a very difficult situation, I think, to just narrow it down to say we're energy independent, meaning we're just going to have our own oil and we're going to use our own oil. It's because it's on a global stage. Does that make sense? So it's kind of a yes and no answer to that question in some ways. I hope that makes sense.
Actually, you're hitting on something, technically speaking, really important here.
Of course I am.
The refinery bottleneck is the real constraint, not crude production itself. We've got plenty of oil capacity, but only a handful of refineries in the U.S., and they're running near max efficiency already.
Yeah.
What's not being told is that those 800-plus ships moving through the strait aren't just oil. You mentioned the semiconductors, rare earths, helium for cooling systems. Disrupting that choke point doesn't just spike energy costs. It cascades through every supply chain from defense systems to consumer electronics within weeks.
Right. That's... And some of it's critical. Like the helium only lasts on that; they can only have it on the ship for so long. It degrades. So some of the minerals doing that kind of thing. It is a pretty serious issue to keep things flowing there. And we'll see what happens. I don't know. Let's go to Skip. I don't want to run the show too long here. But let's see what Skip has to say. And
Kevin, my man,
yes,
this
sir.
Lindsey Graham situation.
Oh, here we
Everyone's
go.
Mourning him as a conservative warrior, but wasn't he the same guy who flip-flopped on Trump constantly? Are we whitewashing his legacy just because he died suddenly? Or should we be honest about his record of undermining the America First agenda?
Well, my goodness. Yes. Lindsey Graham. I have not been a big fan of Lindsey Graham politically. I think that the difference between the left and the right typically, and I know that there are people who are out there celebrating his passing. I know people on the left and the right. But the left is rejoicing greatly. I know that they are not happy with him. They think he's, they don't like him at all, which tells you something about his character, I guess. But there are people on the right who weren't big fans. He's one of those guys that he represented the establishment Republicans, was not necessarily MAGA, was not necessarily conservative. He's a war hawk. He's, And in fact, one of the last things he did was go to Ukraine, and he's trying to make some comments, make some statements that would try to end. He doesn't want the war to continue, but he wants to see Ukraine, you know, win. He's all in with the Americans supporting them. Whether you agree with that or not, I think that the difference between the left and the right in some ways is that even though we don't agree with the man politically, we can define those things as being, that's just something that he did that we didn't agree with. We don't wish death upon anyone. And I think that we have to respect the human life that is there. And it's a sad situation that he's died. It was untimely. And I think he was 72? I thought he was a lot older than he is. I thought he was. Now, I have to say, in the last few years, he has not looked very healthy. I don't know if he had some medical conditions, if he was on some other kind of medication, if something was going on. He just didn't, to me, when I would see him in the last couple of years, he did not look as healthy as he had. Of course, no, everybody gets older and they look older, but he just didn't look healthy. And I don't know if that's just something that people go through at a certain stage in their life where all of a sudden they just do that, or if it's because of other issues, complicating situations, medications that they happen to go on that causes all that to happen. There's just a whole lot of things that happen with a person's health like that. And that's sad. I would have preferred that Lindsey Graham would have just stepped out of office or lost his election or whatever it was. I did not politically agree with a lot of things. Now there were some times he made some fiery speeches and people got all riled up, and he was very popular at a few occasions when he would make some fiery speeches, and it was good. However, there was also the times when he would just go off the deep end in the other direction, and I did not have that much respect for the man politically and in his opinions, because I saw him as a shill in some ways, and we just don't want to speak ill of those who've passed. It's just, that's part of just respect for the person, the human being, the human life that is sad, that is lost. I would have liked to have seen him change his ways and become a true conservative. And I think he would have been a tremendous force. Now, he did say some things, I guess, right before he passed. I think he called the president the night that he passed away, the evening that he passed away. And he was fine on the phone. Nothing indicating that he was sick. Now, there's a lot of speculation, a lot of conspiracy theories thinking about him. What happened to him? Was this part of an assassination, poisoning type thing? I don't. There's very little. Maybe because they know the family hasn't come out saying. I don't know. I don't even know if he's married or anything. I don't know anything about his life. I don't think he has. I don't think he's married. I don't think he has kids. I don't know anything about him. I really don't. His personal life. We'll find out more about that, I'm sure, in the coming days. But he did serve in the military. I think he was Air Force Reserve or something, whatever he was. But he was, the things like that, I think, that are important. And so we'll see what ends up happening now politically with that. But I think that there has been a lot of hype around it. I think that there's this general concern that we don't want to be seen as dancing on someone's grave. Kind of thing from the right. Now, he wasn't a true conservative, in my opinion. I think that's correct with regard to that. Now, let's see what kind of pushback I get from you here on making those kinds of comments.
Now, hold on. You on the hype and the conspiracy talk, but let's pump the brakes a little. A guy in his 70s passes, and yeah, maybe he didn't look great lately, but jumping to poisoning without any evidence. That's the kind of thing that used to get laughed off the radio, and for good reason.
Well, the idea that Russia has done that in the past, they've poisoned people, their enemies. Iran has done that. That is something. And he just went over there. He just comes back and drops dead. So it's a plausible idea, and it is something that people are passing around. But there's no evidence. There's no proof. I don't know. If there's going to be an autopsy. I don't know what's going to happen there. My guess is that because it's not being very well. Now, the people who have been some of the political enemies of Putin who have actually been poisoned, they've been, it's been determined very, very quickly that they've been poisoned. So it's just kind of one of them was like a certain type of uranium or something that was so deadly that only took a little, like a tiny little speck of, like smaller than a piece, grain of salt that could kill you. And that happened to one guy. I think he was over in Europe or someplace that just, and somehow Russia got reached out and touched him. It was determined that he was basically killed right away by that stuff. So it is a possibility. It's always there. The whole idea of it. You know, but again, you're right. It is speculation. Pump the brakes on that one or whatever you got to do. But let's see if we got anything coming through the feed here. Putin stunned with his Russia calls for his execution. What? Right. Russians are apparently speaking out against Putin, I guess, now at this point, probably because of having lost so many people in their war there. It's kind of a tough situation. Let's see what Chloe has to say. Chloe's always a breath of fresh air. Let's see what she has to say. We'll go from
there.
Hey,
Kev, have you heard about The View's Sunny Hostin making comments about holding her nose over the whole Graham Plattner thing?
Oh, actually, yes, I have.
And the other comments she made about the American flag.
Oh, yeah.
Then there's the crazy Rosie O'Donnell. What's she trying to prove? Do you think she's actually lost her mind? Oh, and let's talk about Candace, Tucker, Sean Ryan, and Megyn Kelly. Wow.
Sean Ryan, I think, is the name. Well, interesting that you bring all those up. I actually have some video. Audio, I guess. I was going to play some YouTube stuff. I was going to play about Megyn Kelly. Take that back. Sonny Houston and Rosie O'Donnell, some of the things that they've been saying. I think I've got some audio of Rosie, I think. Some of the stuff that she has said. So I've got a few things on both of those. However, I'm going to I'm going to go back to this. Sonny Houston, I'll play some audio here in a little bit about some of that kind of stuff, but Candace Owens is kind of probably the point leader in some of these things. I know that she was being interviewed by Sean Ryan. Sean Ryan was, I've lost a lot of respect for Sean Ryan, unfortunately. And there were a couple moments in some of his interviews where I saw a side of Sean that it was almost like a spiritual revelation. I think Sean is being, he's one of those people who, you know, he claims to be a believer. He claims to be a believer in Jesus, he's had some people on his show. He had this one guy on his show who was showing some artifacts, and one of the main artifacts that he shows is the Crown of Thorns thing, and he hands it to Sean and says, "Wait, what do you think, you know? You're someone who's seen pain, you've seen all these things. What does that, you know, what does that do to you, or how does that affect you when you hold that crown, thinking about having that put on someone's head and pounded down under their head?" There was that moment when that happened it was kind of like this little transparency thing happened in that moment. And I think that Sean is very manipulated by trying to stay popular and relevant and stay in the moment with some of his audience. I think he's in some ways he's kind of entrapped in this thing where he has to be he has to portray something, and I think that it's, and most of these people, Megyn Kelly, even Candace and who else is there? The whole gaggle of all of them. Candace Owens, Sean Ryan. Who else did you mention? Megyn Kelly and Tucker Carlson. Tucker Carlson's the same thing. I think Tucker's struggling to maintain relevance and maintain an identity. They have discovered that if they go against Trump, that they get this whole different genre of people kind of supporting them. And it's a slippery slope. They start to oppose things, and then they realize that the left will eat you up as long as you're abiding by their bylaws. they will fawn all over you, and they'll throw you away in a heartbeat as soon as they deem you unnecessary. Meanwhile, the people on the conservatives, I think, in the movement, they see people doing this kind of thing, and they still want them to change their ways. Still want them to, you know, they would love to debate them and try to bring them back to reality, but that's just not, sometimes it's not possible with the way things go. But yeah, I've got some audio I'm going to play in a little bit. I'll just get your thoughts on my initial thoughts there, and I'm going to play this audio, and then we'll see what you have to say after that. We'll see if we have anything further to chime in on. I'll take a sip.
Okay, so real talk, I think you're onto something about people getting trapped in the algorithm of staying relevant, but I feel like it's way bigger than just these personalities trying to play both sides. It's literally how the entire content ecosystem works now. Like, you gotta feed the beast or you disappear.
Yeah.
And that applies whether you're going hard right or hard left. The Crown of Thorns moment you're describing sounds genuinely emotional, but also like, some people are actually spiritual, and some people are just really good at performing spirituality for engagement.
Oh, yeah.
And honestly, it's almost impossible to tell the difference anymore because the performance becomes the reality.
Yeah, yeah, and it's true. That's very true. Yeah, you're hitting on some things there that are very, very important, I think. The show, it can be edited. The show can be, you know, they can do three or four takes to get something to where it looks, has the emotional connection that they need. Which is why I like to do my show without any editing. And the only thing I edit out typically is something with, like, if something bad, you know, if something messes up, something it goes bad haywire-wise, but you're going to get the content. You're not going to get three or four takes on something. If I stumble over some words, you're going to hear it. It's going to happen that way. I don't have a cough button on my microphone here with this particular device that I'm recording on right now. But if I did, I would just, that's about the only edit you're going to get. It's if I have to cough or sneeze or something like that, or whatever, what's going on. Or if I just push the mute button on my podcast or my Rodecaster at home, I just turn the microphone off when I have to do something like that. But that's the only editing I typically do. I like to run it almost as if it's a live show. That way you're getting the whole, you know, it's not AI. AI doesn't talk like this. It doesn't have the kind of inflection. It doesn't have the kind of in-the-moment speech that you can hear with a real person. I could just type all this out in a script. In fact, I could have AI make the script for me and use my voice. And you would be able to tell, because it would not have, you know, you can do the same thing with music. It's amazing what you can do with music as well. But you can't perform. If you can't perform it live, it's not you. And it's the kind of thing that people need, that live connection. They need a human being in the mix of what's going on. And because we can still tell, we're still human enough that we can tell. Now, there are some things I will listen to, and it's just information as it's being done. However, it almost lacks something. I almost get lost in the droning of an AI voice that's just reading a script, because there's no hesitation. There's no pause for the thought to sink in. It's just a constant blah, 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 blah. And some people even when they're doing live recording of themselves, what ends up happening is they end up editing it with AI, and it does it for, you know, takes out all the breaths, all the spaces, all the, you know, it jump cuts to everything. It's just this constant barrage of information that never stops and keeps on talking. And unfortunately, Candace Owens kind of talks that way. She's a very fast talker. Candace Owens and Ben Shapiro both have this same talent. They can talk very quickly and very articulately as far as their articulation of the words themselves. And if you listen to Candace, she has this persona that she puts on when she's speaking, and she is very, very, very articulate in what she says, and she's in terms of her pronunciation of words. And that comes across as someone who is intelligent with authority, but she has none. Some of the places she goes is absolutely ridiculous. I'm going to try to put together a collection of some things. I've been listening to a few different, and Jeremy Bourne actually did almost a 2-hour special with a couple of guys that talked about their interactions with Candace and what they've, you know, what they've experienced and what's going on with her. And they shared some things that I trust them. I believe them because of all the other things that have happened around Candace and where she's gone and what's happened with her. I used to be one who I thought she was a rising star. I thought she was a very intelligent person who was you know, has a special talent to be able to present the information. She did. When she went off on this thing with Macron and the whole, you know, his wife was a born a male, the whole thing. My question was, why has this become? It's one thing to make the statement. It's all of the things to make your whole, to revolve your whole life around it, to revolve your whole show around it. It became this whole, she was obsessed with this whole thing. Speaking of obsessions, let's go to, I want to play some things here. This is, this was on the O'Reilly thing. Hopefully I don't have to play anything of him. I don't necessarily like Bill O'Reilly that much. He's not a bad person. I like the fact that he tells it like it is. I think he tells it he'll tell you what he actually thinks. I don't always agree with what he thinks, but which I don't have to. It's fine. I think he's okay with that. I don't think he would be offended by me saying that to his face, because I'm sure he doesn't agree with everything I say. But that's kind of where we're at. But let's listen to this.
And I said this on this show many years ago, because this is my 10th year on the show, and I said there are times when I walk into a community and I see American
flag. By the way, this is descendant of slave traders, Sonny Hostin on The View. She's a descendant of slave traders. I just want to make sure that, because I'm sure that's what they would do for anyone else who was a slave trader, had family slave traders. She was determined to have had slave traders in her direct line, by the way. And I just want to make sure that everybody knows that, because she would do the same favor for anybody else. That becomes their identity. So let's just make sure that she's clear on that identity. Let's go back here and listen to this part.
When I walk into a community and I see American flags all over the community, and I suddenly feel unsafe, mm-hmm. because there is a section of this country that has co-opted the American flag, yeah. and they equate being an American or an American flag, yeah. with white supremacy, and that should never be
ever
the symbol of white supremacy.
The American flag is a symbol of white supremacy because it's been co-opted by the white supremacists. This is someone who has listened too much to the rhetoric on the left. Really, you really think that people who have their American flags out, that is somehow has been co-opted by the white supremacists? If you have an American flag out, if it's all over the community, then it's you're just, yeah. Well, when she said she was walking through these communities, was she lynched? Was she accosted? I'll tell you where I don't feel comfortable and safe. It'd be interesting to see if she walked down through, let's say just East Chicago. Walk down through, I bet you could walk down through that town with all the American flags out at night with your kids and feel perfectly fine. I bet you could walk down through East Chicago anywhere there, say, or Gary, whatever. It's like, you know, like, Malcolm X Drive, for example, or Martin Luther King Drive. Just saying. Walk down through there at night. No American flags. Is Americans, you know, is white supremacy going to be an issue there? Are you going to feel safe there? I'm just asking questions, as they say. This is the kind of thing that just irritates me to no end, and I get tired of hearing it. But of course, the SEALs are going to clap on the show because, it's
American flags. They're just a bunch of white Christian nationalists. They're all white supremacists.
Here's an interesting thing that happened today. I went to Google, and I typed in, what is a Christian nationalist? Here's what came up. Hate speech. I don't understand what I'm even getting here. It is this weird thing, but I probably should drink some water. It's a block here that just, it's not a a definition. What I ended up with was a glossary, one of 24, abuse, two of 24, adult-themed content, three of 24, dangerous content, four of 24, doxing, five of 24, endangerment, six of 24, harassment, seven of 24, fake engagement, eight of 24, hate speech. This is, I don't even understand what this is. It's got a little place to click on for read more. I don't want to do that. Misinformation, help article, maps, user-generated content policy, hate speech, help article. What is it telling me here? Terrorist content, violent extremist or criminal organization. It's like a whole list of offensive content, Google Groups content policy, view more. There's nothing here. There's nothing. This is all like documents from Google. And I don't understand, this is not like a Google search. It's like Google Help. I'm going to go to Google itself, type the same thing, and see what I get. But this is the content that they've got available on Google. Now, I'm going to go to, I'm going to go to google.com and just try the same thing. I think I'm probably going to end up with the same thing as well. See what ends up happening. Okay, Christian nationalism is a political ideology that seeks to merge Christian identity with national identity. Adherents believe their country was founded on Christian principles and that the government should actively preserve this religious heritage through public policy, law, and cultural influence. The concept can be broken down into a few specific areas. Core beliefs, cultural primacy, the belief that Christianity should hold a dominant or privileged position in public life, law, and institutions. National destiny, the view is that the nation holds a special covenant with God and will flourish if it abides by Christian values. Policy goals. So tell me what values and what moral standards the nation was founded on. Was it, what other religion, if you want to call it that, what other religion was it founded on? Was it founded on Buddhism? Was it founded on Islam? Was it founded on Taoism? What was it founded on? If not, now some people say, well, all the founders were deists. No, there were a few that were deists. There were a few that were, there was a large number of them would have been, and even deists back then still would have been deists under the Judeo-Christian God how they would have defined who God is and the moral standard that was there through the Ten Commandments. They would have all agreed on those things. So it's a very twisted slope that we like to push back on these people and pretend like we know who they were because of the way that we change history from one month to the next. I mean, you see people that something happened a year ago and the news already tries to change history and try to reform it into something else. Just like what happened on January 6th, that was the worst day of our nation. It was like Pearl Harbor all over again. Yeah, that's not what it was. But that's where that's the level that they try to get. It was worse than 9/11, Pearl Harbor, and whatever. They'll list a couple other things all put together all at once, which is ridiculous. So that's the kind of thing we're facing now. Let's go to Rosie O'Donnell. Rosie O'Donnell is the epitome of TDS, Trump Derangement Syndrome. Now, keep in mind, Rosie O'Donnell moved out of the country, went to Ireland, and continues. I think she's even talked about. She moved out of the country, and here's the amazing part of it: she. Even while she's over there, she talks about how she talks to the locals about, stuff never happens that she talks about. I'm sure she's making up all these stories, but she's talking about all these, she goes out for a pint. She's over there where celebrity doesn't matter. Well, her celebrity doesn't matter. Nobody knows who she is over there. They don't care who she is. So she can walk out in the street and nobody bothers her because they don't know who she is. That's kind of, when she goes someplace where they know where she is, then the people are flocking around her and wanting her autograph. So they don't do that over there because they don't care who she is. She's nobody over there. So she doesn't like that. She claims she does. She's like, oh, I like being here where celebrity doesn't matter. You're celebrity. They have celebrities in Ireland. There are people who are very popular over there, who would get flocked around if it's not that they don't have celebrities there. So it's one of those weird things where she does it, and yet she still can't shut up about Donald Trump. She moved out of the country because of Donald Trump, and she can't shut up about him, about the guy. She's totally obsessed with the guy. Everything she does in her life is she makes decisions. All of her life decisions are based on who this guy is. And then she has the audacity to say that Donald Trump is obsessed with her, all because he makes this.
And the Emmy Award-winning Rosie O'Donnell is here now. Thanks so much for joining us. What's your reaction to that AI-generated video sent out by the President of the United States showing you and Robert De Niro and Julia Roberts and Whoopi Goldberg, et cetera?
Well, I think I'm in good company, number one. And number two, you know, I seem to be the, obsession he can't get rid of.
Obsession he can't get rid of.
Do you hear yourself when you talk?
When you posted about leaving the U.S., you said you might return when, quote, it's safe for all citizens to have equal rights there in America. Does that mean that when Trump leaves office, presumably January 2029, you'll come back? Or it depends on who wins the election in 2028?
Yes.
Oh, please, God, no!
Yes, yeah.
Well, I don't think, Jake, that he is going to survive that long. All the medical doctors that you can get accurate opinions of what's happening to him, because his demise is
the ones that you agree with
and apparent to everyone who is not willfully blind.
But she's not obsessed with
the guy.
He called Zelensky Putin,
which I don't think
I've heard that before.
You cannot prioritize.
First of all, they're interjecting this is Mr. Burgundy, and they're putting a whole lot of other things in with around what she's saying now. I was thinking that Biden did something very similar, called other people different names. I thought it was Biden that actually called Zelensky Putin. Maybe it wasn't, but he probably did. She never had any problem with his cognitive ability. You never saw her leaving the country or having any issues with him having cognitive decline. The whole world was seeing it, but nobody wanted to talk about it because it was their person, so they couldn't say anything about it. Let's continue.
He also called Zelensky Putin.
I mean, he called Zelensky Putin.
Tweedledee and Tweedledumass.
Ladies and gentlemen, President Putin.
There it is. Right there it is. It is. They actually put it in here. It was Biden who did that. Biden did that. Now, I don't know if Trump did it or not, but Biden did it. Nobody said anything about it. This was in front of the Ukraine Compact, the Securing Ukraine's Future event in 2024. So
this, what is your... President Putin, President Zelensky.
He makes the kind of mistakes that you would forgive at Thanksgiving dinner, but you would never let Grandpa cut the turkey. Because it might be dangerous.
You have very serious emotional problems.
Yeah, this is the kind of thing.
Problems for.
Yeah, this is what's happening with these people. They're completely deranged. They come up with things that things that Biden did. They're putting on Trump. It's just something's wrong with these people. There's just it's like, what's wrong with you people kind of thing. Anyway, folks, thanks for listening. This has been a pretty long show. We're gonna take a quick break here, and we're gonna go talk about what's gonna happen on tomorrow's show, if we have one. We've already talked about it a little bit, but we'll get back to that and talk about a few other things. I do want to hear one last comment, because I have Chloe here still on the line. Let's see what she has to say about everything that she's heard here. She's got a lot of thinking to do. There's a whole lot to process there.
Okay, so I'm hearing a lot here about people living in total contradiction with themselves. Like, Rosie literally can't stop talking about the guy she supposedly wanted to escape by moving countries. That's peak obsession energy, honestly. And the fact that she can't even admit she craves the attention she claims to hate is like, girl, just be honest about it.
Exactly. And then she claims that Trump is obsessed with her. And which this viral video, by the way, of Trump, maybe I can find it here. Let's see if I can find TDS, Trump TDS meme. See if it's even in here. Here it is. This is it. I'm going to play this and see if it's...
Have you or someone you know been diagnosed with TDS? The symptoms can be relentless. Fortunately, I'm Dr. Trump, and I have a treatment plan. Let's hear what some of my patients have to say.
I have been suffering for over a decade, and after listening to Dr. Trump, I can see some results.
Man, I've been suffering for years.
This is,
I really didn't believe that was help out there. That was when I came across this video on TV.
I really thought I was a lost cause. This was going to affect me for the rest of my life. But after using the treatment plan, I can see a difference.
That doesn't sound like Rosie.
I really wasn't sure I could help some of these people. They were so far gone, I wasn't really sure.
Of course, this is all AI generated.
I had no idea how much this was affecting my life. My work is slowed down. I'm hardly recognizable anymore.
Some of these people, I don't know who they are. I just
needed help.
I recognize the face. Oh, here's Robert De Niro.
I couldn't sleep. Constantly angry. I made everyone miserable around me.
I feel like I've aged 20 years in the last 2 years. I've been so concerned. I was really starting to worry about my future.
The treatment is simple. Turn off. Fake news. Say your prayers, and if you ever feel anxious, just have a Diet Coke like me, and you're going to see a remarkable difference in your life.
And now
okay.
It's time for a...
Sorry. Goes on to the next thing. Anyway, we'll be right back after this.
It's the news, according to me. Oh, it's the news, according to me. It's the news, according to me. Oh, it's the news, according to me. According to me.
Yes, here we are. Tomorrow's show may be recorded this evening. I don't know. It depends on what happens today. We'll see what happens with as the week starts off. But in the meantime, we're probably going to just be... I'll try to have a show. We'll see how it works out. It might be early in the morning. It could possibly be late in the afternoon, one of the two. So it'll be coming to you from Moline, Illinois. And then the following day, I'm going to be traveling all day on Wednesday. If there's going to be a show, it will probably... The best way to do this would probably be to have a show early tomorrow morning and then have a show recorded late in the day tomorrow. And that will be posted on Wednesday. Otherwise, there will not be a show at all on Wednesday because I'll be getting home very late on Wednesday. At least that's the I'll be in Boston for a while on Wednesday. And we'll probably not get home until very late. So we have a lot of things going on there. But the Thursday and Friday show will be normal. Thursday we'll have Theological Thursday, and Friday we'll have that other thing, as well as another podcast going to be starting up called the Podcast Caller show. So it's going to be a whole other thing. I'll be talking about that a little bit. That's the only kind of... we don't have a sponsor for this show. It's sponsored by me. It's just my thing. And the closest thing we have to a sponsor is the podcastcaller.com. So we have, which will be going on the market here very soon. It's going to be out there. I've got a few other things I need to finish up with it. It looks like the sign up works. You can sign up for the free trial right now. However, it's the paid side of things need to be kind of plugged in properly. It's all there. You can do it. You can put yourself in as there's three different levels. But it's it just needs to be set up so that it actually works with everything that needs to happen there with all that stuff. Anyway, right after this, we'll come right back. I guess I was already talking about that. We'll have we've already gone through that. Let's just go to the end of the show here. Thanks for listening, folks. Appreciate you listening to the show. Appreciate you supporting me and just knowing that there's people out there listening. In fact, I wanted to go over, maybe I'll do this real quick. I think I have time for this. We have statistics on the show. I think that's here somewhere. Let's see what we know. Oh, it's not here. Where did it go? We have it here somewhere. I'm gonna type this in. We have, Chrome doesn't always put this stuff up here. Oh, here it is. This is it right here. I think it's Castos. There we go. I'm gonna look at the analytics part of things. Yeah, I got to sign in again. Crazy. There we go. All right, so we have the analytics side of things. Well, I got these weird days where I got a spike in people listening. I'm going to look at the geographic stats, which are always kind of interesting. We have see where all the countries are that are listening. South America has really lit up the map here recently. Peru, Ecuador, Colombia, Venezuela, Brazil. There's a little French colony in South America that apparently is listening from there. It was Portugal, the UK, of course, all over the place there. France, Germany, Ukraine. Ukraine, that's interesting. Hungary and Iraq, believe it or not. Angola, in the southern part of the continent of Africa there. What do we have here? Bangladesh, Vietnam still has a sizable number. Japan, welcome. And of course, Australia and New Zealand. Part of that. I don't want to mention Finland. I think I'll do that. What is that little one right there? It's interesting statistics on some of those things. Anyway, folks, thanks again for listening. Thanks for your support. Thanks for sharing. Doing all the things you do. Appreciate it. In the meantime, I will see you.